John Stewart, Green Lantern of Sector 2814, and it's Fans on Patrol time.
Like we're supposed to be. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. And with me is my sensitory co-host, Miss Tifflebot. What's happening, Tiff?
Extra sensitive this week, I would say.
Oh, so. We'll make you feel better,
too. Ooh, I'm ready to talk about shit, y'all.
Well, we got a good show, man. So welcome to show 323. And
welcome to show we've lost count.
Yeah. And so it's still Black History Month, y'all. Indeed. So we decided to do a little something that we never went in the direction before. We're going to do Eddie Murphy's Coming to America because it'll be out on Coming to America 2. It'll be out on Amazon next month. And so we've done a lot of Black History shows over the years, and we never really went heavy comedy. So, you know, Coming to America, classic, people love it. But what does it look like now? You know, so that's the big one for the day.
Yeah.
So what else do we have? We're going to talk a little Mortal Kombat. Believe it or not, there's a new movie coming out and it'll blow your cheeks away. And I have some little side stories to talk about this trailer. Also, man,
all right.
Cruella de Vil trailer dropped this week. We're going to talk about that. Now, I'm really interested to talk about this because it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Keep so. Zipper your lip. I can feel you almost saying shit.
I know.
Keep it under wraps until the time comes.
Absolutely, okay? Right. We got a one shot that has nothing to do with Black History, but we're doing Queen's Gambit because we...
Okay, fuck you guys. Listen up. We watched this shit like 7 weeks ago and we've been saying, oh, we'll do it next week. Oh, we'll do it next week. So yes, we're doing a Queen's Gambit one shot.
Look,
potentially the whitest woman who's ever existed. Black History Month.
She's definitely porcelain, but look, she counts because she got a black friend. So there we go.
And her black friend. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Her black friend is really cool, though.
Yeah, and 1,000 years old. But anyway, I get ahead of myself.
Sorry. I get ahead of myself, and I accused you of doing that. That's my bad.
And like I said, at the top of the key, indeed, Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, in the classic Coming to America. So we're going to do that, man, because I don't want to see Coming to America 2, but, you know, whatever. Here we go. We got to do it. So saying all that groovy stuff, Tiff, are you ready to roll?
Who are you talking to?
Let's go. All right, man, we are back, and for some reason, Tiff, week after week, I have been forgetting to do social media.
Yeah.
You know, so we got a couple of things that I want to we want to shout out before we go. First of all, man, I want to shout out to the Fade 216 podcast. That's Fade as an acronym, F-A-D, you know, with the little dots behind it. Mm-hmm. I was on that show this week, and it was an interview about podcasting and me and the idea and what is Fans of Patrol. 1 hour of me. So please go over and give the Fade podcast a listen. Shout out to DJ Giff, who is the brain child behind that property. Also, we have a Patreon. If you haven't listened to our Patreon, what's wrong with you? We do shows every week for the Patreon, and we about to do exclusive videos for the Patreon that'll be dropping this week too. So go give that dollar per month, y'all, and jump
in. $1, you cheap motherfuckers.
Right. And if you were a lockdown listener and you're not a Patreon subscriber, shame, shame, ring the bell, shame.
Yeah, shame, shame, shame,
shame. Shame, shame, shame.
So other than that, Tiff, could you, oh, look, I'm not going to let Tiff get away with it. You did something brand new this week, Tiff. What do you have going on in the land of Tifflebot?
Oh, shit.
I know. Tell the people about your good stuff.
I was going to, like, just not say anything.
Nope.
So, and anyone who's listening who's literarily inclined, I have started a Lit Mag, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's a place where people who write stuff can submit to my journal. If we like your stuff, we'll publish you. It's called Two Fingers. So it's twofingerslitmag.com, and we're open right now for submission.
What does two fingers mean?
Two fingers, like two fingers of alcohol. Two fingers like the devil's horn. Yeah, whatever. It's got multiple meanings. That's the point.
Oh, okay. Right? I'm like, y'all can't see me, but I'm doing like...
He's like finger guns, right. Devil horns, and the peace sign. There's a lot going on.
I'm like, what the two finger mean?
It's all spelled out. So it's T-W-O fingers, F-I-N-G-E-R-S, lit, L-I-T, mag.com. So lit, M-A-G.com. Yeah, and I will read your stuff and I'll tell you if it's good.
Hey.
So send it over to me. I have been getting a little bit more involved with posting on social media. Just full disclosure, Montego does a lot of stuff. Montego's great. But if you ever see any dipshit stuff, that's probably me. Well, just
people appreciate the dipshit stuff more, Tifflebot. So more of that.
Wake up with some dipshit stuff. Like when I asked y'all if you wanted to see the drawers on the outside.
And I didn't even see that until the poll was over. I was like, shit.
Listen, I have some stuff to talk to you all about who are listening. We have a lot of followers on Twitter, and three people responded to that poll.
You bastards.
I am out here beating my ass trying to make you laugh, and you can't even fucking click a button that says, yeah, I like the undies on the outside. Come on.
Yeah, that was a good one, Tiff. It was over. I couldn't even vote because you're not about like, ah, you know.
Logging into all your different accounts you have access to and being like, undies.
Right. Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. So, where else were we at?
You guys, I know. Listen, this is it. We're fucking ready to talk about the show shit. And I know that you're so fucking excited because clearly I am off my rocker today.
Okay.
Let's get this shit fucking going.
All right. Just go to fansofpatrol.com for everything.
I said that.
I'll just reiterate.
We're going to have a straight up fucking fight up in here today.
Okay. So let's talk a little Mortal Kombat, man. So, Tim.
Okay.
You know, HBO Max has, you know, they told us at the beginning of the year. They said, listen, you fuckers, we're going full deep. Brand new movie for you guys every month. And you know what? Thank y'all. Thank you so much because they keep giving us stuff. And they showed us the King Kong thing last month. We never mm-hmm. got a chance to talk about it. But of course, we're all like, ah! And then like Mortal Kombat, which was, I think next month it comes out. And so we haven't, we had two Mortal Kombat movies in the 90s. The first Mortal Kombat movie was great for the time. You watch it now, you're like, what the hell is this? But at the time, we were all like, Mortal Kombat! Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. We was loving it. So they're redoing it. They're rebooting the whole franchise. And, you know, I had a quick preview to this whole thing last March at the last con that we had went to. Because the actor who plays Jimmy Olsen on Supergirl is actually playing the role of Jax in this Mortal Kombat movie. And he told me that. You know, I stopped. He wasn't allowed to do interviews, but he was a talker. And he was like, yeah, I'm doing Jax. I'm doing this. And that, blah, 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 blah. And he was a cool dude, man, you know. And we talked to him, and lo and behold, here he is in Jax. And I think the video shows a little too much because they show how Jax loses his arm. I'm like, why would you do that?
It's fine. In my opinion, I think that's fine.
Okay. So this thing is very interesting, Tiff. It's very different looking. And then in some aspects, it looks just like the old show, the movie.
Don't listen.
But I'm dying to hear what you got to say about this, Tiff.
This looks so fucking good to me. This looks so fucking fun. I can't wait to watch this. I love ultra violence. I want to see people get fucking smashed. And you guys, the fucking thing about this is, if you watch this trailer, they say some of their killing lines, which is so good. So like, Scorpion says, get over here.
Yeah,
like
you
when
do.
He's,
yeah, you do.
That's like, you know what I mean? And then I think that one of the people is like, he says his victory line. He's with the heart in his hand.
Oh, yeah. Kino. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, this looks like it's... Okay, the thing about this is, what's so brilliant about it is, like, is it a good movie? Maybe not. But it's really embracing what it means to be Mortal Kombat. It's really embracing the kind of, like, cheesy offness of it and the gore and the weird shit about it. I just love that it's honest with itself.
And what else could you ask for, you know, than it to be, you know, as long as you keep it honest to the franchise, then you're in pretty good shape, man, you know, with the fans, man.
In Mortal Kombat,
it's a tournament.
There is a story.
Yeah.
There is, yes, there is a story to Mortal Kombat. There always is. There's always been, well, maybe not in the early ones, but ever since, like, you know, modern consoles have come around, there's always, you can either play just fights or you can play a campaign. And in the campaign, there's a storyline. Okay, so there's, like, this person is trying to overthrow the rules of the tournament or rule everyone on Earth,
yeah,
the Dead Realm and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And it's all very good. It's actually really good. Like, the last Mortal Kombat game was really fascinating.
Ooh, Tiff, I haven't played since Super NES, honestly.
Oh, I recommend.
Yeah, I haven't played since Super NES. Mortal Kombat 3, I think, was the last one. Yeah, but it had Baraka and stuff. That's the last one I played.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I love the fact that when you watch this trailer, there is just the idea that there is a tournament of champions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They want the best fighters. There's a little bit of mystery as to who those people are or how they came to be.
Hey, Tiff.
And they fight.
Hey, Tiff. Thank God Raiden is not Christopher Lambert, a white guy. Thank God that he was Asian.
I will
thank
say
you.
This movie is, I'm worried for this movie because of its diversity. Like, I am glad for it because that is what it is. Mortal Kombat has always, and Mortal Kombat and Tekken, yeah, and really any, like, popular fighting game, the idea is that these fighters are coming from all over the globe. So if you're trying to tell me they're all white, you can suck on my dick.
Well, wow. Tiff, there was no Johnny Cage I didn't see. Did you notice that?
I didn't, but I think either one of two things is going to happen. We're going to see some fan favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
That weren't in the trailer as just like a treat to us.
Yeah.
Or they are hoping, against all odds, that there will be a second one and they will be able to put more, which is a good plan. In my opinion, that's a good plan. I think you should, if you think that at all you could have a sequel, you should reserve some of your players.
Yeah, because then so you throw everybody out there and give them 5 minutes of screen time and then
right. It's
over. And then you do like the second Mortal Kombat movie back in the 90s and trying to do Annihilation. And it's like, what the hell is this? You know, so I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to say, for my part, this looks awesome. And I'm not, I was a Mortal Kombat fan way back in the 90s, man. And then after the movie, then they came out with Annihilation. I was like, this is bullshit. And then I stopped buying the games because it was just too much. I got out of playing fighting games. But I know a lot of people still love playing them. This movie makes me want to play Mortal Kombat again, this trailer.
Right.
Because they're sticking to what, you know, the worst thing they do in movies like this is like all the offshoot characters that they have, they make them like really important. And you're like, what? But people only want to know about Sub-Zero and Scorpion and Raiden and
Liu Kang.
Right. You know, and so they're giving you a lot of this. And I'm not if you go to Fans of Patrol Facebook page, we have the red trailer on there, and it's full of blood and guts, y'all. So it's the
which is
essence of the game.
Appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mortal Kombat has been known and has been criticized through its lifetime as being too violent.
You remember?
And if you were,
I'm sorry. Do you remember when they had you can play A or B, and B, like,
yes,
they made the blood gray for the little
correct
kids.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, here's the thing. I know it's blood.
Right.
Even no matter what color it is.
Right.
Also, you're going to turn some kids into some real weirdos, is all I'm saying. Like, the thing about it is that, like, you have two options. Do not let your child play that game, which is the correct option, or just let them see the blood, because putting that gray shit in, they're going to be like weird sex perverts. Don't do weird shit.
Right, right. You need to be grossed out by this and go run into your
correct
room and cry, because if you don't,
correct,
now you're going to be a serial killer, and we created you in the video game world.
Where's the gray stuff?
Right.
That's what he would say as he stabbed a woman in the back.
And woo, goddamn.
So I'm just saying, like, this is a real treat for me. I'm super excited.
Oh yeah, we can definitely tell, man.
We could do a whole fucking show about this trailer alone, but you guys, we have more for you because we're that great.
Yeah. So, you know, Disney had been talking about doing a Cruella de Vil movie, and I was like, I didn't give a shit, Tiffo, but I was like, well, who cares? And even hitting it even harder with these Disney movies, they have lost the excitement for me because, you know, I think once I saw Belle, Beauty and the Beast,
yeah,
I realized that, wow, the Disney formula, all you guys are doing is just taking the, you're not rebooting anything. You're taking the properties that we know and putting live actors in them. That's it. You're not changing anything. You're not giving us a fresh story. It's just the old story with, you know, live people. So quickly, I have become numb to Disney releasing live action this. But this Cruella de Vil thing has nothing to do with, it's not 101 Dalmatians. It's all about Cruella. And so I watched this trailer and I was like, oh shit, this is actually interesting. There's something going on before, you know, the puppies, or maybe after the puppies. Who knows? It's like her becoming Cruella. And I was like, I want to see this. And I was so surprised of myself that I wanted to see this. I mean, what about you?
Okay. I'm going to be a little bit bold with my statements here, so forgive me.
All right.
I did not want to watch this trailer because I was just like, I don't know if I care about this.
That's how I felt.
But then you put in the show notes, and I was like, you know, sure. Fuck, it looks so good.
Don't it?
And it is... it is not in the same caliber, so forgive me for saying this, but it has kind of a Joker feel
it's,
to it.
It's dark, and you're like, why is this dark?
Right, it's dark, and it's Disney, and it's very strange direction for Disney to go, and I hope it's successful because of how strange it is.
Yeah.
Like, I realize it's not going to be, like, super John Wick kind of style shit where it's, like, super violent or anything like that, but there's, like, an underlying turmoil, and you can see it, and I think... I like Emma Stone a lot.
I like Mark Strong. Mark Strong is in this.
Oh, you fucking know Fans of Patrol is Mark Strong's, like, we know. Might as well be a Mark Strong fan His podcast.
Safe place. He can come here anytime and just hang out.
So it's just interesting to see this idea that, like, she was made to be who she was, or at least, like, she has, because, like, in the, there's a trailer, there's, like, a line about, like, you know, yeah, it was bad and this and that, but I'm also was born kind of a little bit of a psycho.
And she says it, which is
right.
Great. And then because they're Disney, they threw in some Dalmatians. And I was like, this shit works so good. So good.
Honestly, I think in times, and I'm sure you've had this feeling as well. And there is. So let's talk about that. Sometimes a trailer is so good that, like, it deserves to be recognized in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, because look, we have no idea what this movie is about, and they show this trailer and we're like, wow, this is all right.
Yes.
This is all right. I want to see more of this, man. And Cruella de Vil, me? Montego for fans on the missed the button all the way to the top. I don't give a shit about Cruella de Vil, but I'm like, I'm so interested in this. This looks really good.
It's the way they shot it looks so good, and the way that she's acting and the idea behind it.
Oh, yeah.
I was not on board before from what I'd heard, but now I'm like fucking on board, and I'll fight someone about it. But what I'm saying is...
Right? I agree with you 100%.
I've gone 180 degrees. What I'm saying is that it is amazing to me that somebody in movie land, mm-hmm. Multiple people,
mm-hmm.
who... Mm-hmm. are not famous,
right.
Get no recognition, are cutting trailers. Like, there are certain trailers that I have seen in my lifetime where I have seen the movie later and obviously been disappointed.
Of course.
But I might still go back and, like, look those trailers up on YouTube because there's just that feeling
that
they give you that are so good and so great. And this might be one of them. And I know,
hey Tifflebot, maybe we should do for the Golden Fans, add a, you know,
the best trailer,
best and worst trailer.
Oh, you guys, watch out for next year. Shit's getting real. But I will say that I don't know if it's still a thing, but I know that there used to be an online awards called the Golden Trailers. And they would award people, like, a really cute, like, a golden Windstream style trailer. For their best trailers. I don't know if that still exists or not. But even then, it doesn't matter because it's not like... I think that they should recognize best trailers at the Oscars and the Golden Globes.
You know, if one thing that would come out of it, to be honest with you, would be perhaps people would start trying to follow a better formula to do trailers and stop... either spoiling everything or boring you to death, or, you know,
right.
What kills me, you know, what the biggest trailer trope nowadays days, that I see, or should I say hear, is the
every time I hear that, I'm like, is an alien coming?
I know. You're like, exactly. So it's like, and you're like, okay. You know, especially they do it.
Everybody get under the tables. There's an alien.
Especially, and they blend it with like this, the regular song with the slow music. You know,
please.
I'm gonna hurt you. Like, what the hell?
Please stop.
I know.
I must ask you. It is a heartfelt.
Please
stop. Please stop yourselves. I know that you have a boner for putting in a slow song.
I know.
But let's change the narrative. We have lived through 2020. I don't want to hear a slow Beatles song.
Right.
I don't want to hear a slow David Bowie song. I don't want to hear any of that shit. I want to hear like, show me some fucking shit.
Dance. Wow. Put on your red shoes and...
This is a fucking nightmare. First of all, you guys can't see his face, so good for you. But I have to witness the whole thing. I will say, you know what I fucking want?
Bring back
some dubstep trailers. I want to hear the fucking drop.
Not mad at you for that. I understand. I get it. I totally, totally get it. All right, man. So that's the news, man. I know we went hard, but, you know, it's a good segment. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our one-shot Queen's Gambit. We'll be right back. All right, man, we are back. It's time to hit our one-shot. If you've never listened to the show before, sometimes we want to check something out. We call it a one-shot. Sometimes we want to go back to that stuff. We call it a double tap. Indeed.
And you guys, listen. We even have one we haven't done yet, and it's got such a great name. But we'll reveal that when it happens.
Indeed. So this week, man, this is our one-shot, the Queen's Gambit. Now, when our good buddy and friend of the show and sister-in-law, family member, Liza Raphael was on the show, she mentioned the Queen's Gambit and mentioned to us that it's really good and she thinks we would like it. And so months later, we decided to do the Queen's Gambit, man. So the Queen's Gambit, it's available on Netflix, 2020, TV Mature. It's a drama. It's a sport, even though chess is not a sport. So just get rid of that. Okay. No.
Let's have a fight.
I'm a chess player.
You guys, not a sport. Here's the thing. I would like you all to know. Anyone who's listening.
Indeed.
I know it seems like Montego is the cool one, but in actuality, he is a fucking loser.
I'm the wedgie man, and I'm not giving him honor.
He's like, push him into the locker, ask for his lunch money.
Hey, guess what?
Atomic wedgie.
I was too big for that shit. Wasn't nobody wedgie in my ass.
True, I know. You guys, it's true. Also, I am the preeminent loser of Fans on Patrol. Have been, will be.
Bullshit.
Love. No, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You can love me and I can still be a loser. That's cool. But I don't play no fucking chess. So we all know what's going on here is all I'm saying.
Well, I actually love the game of chess. And I do.
Anyway.
And so this was a delightful surprise.
Okay, actually, you know what? Before we get started.
Indeed.
May I ask you?
Yes, indeed.
Did you know the move, the Queen's Gambit?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Of course.
Because when I went to go look up some information about this show, there is many moves that revolve around the Queen's Gambit.
Yes.
And so, like, I am woefully uneducated about chess. But before, you know, we're going to get started. But before we get started, I would like to say that if you have not watched this show because you are worried about your feelings about chess or how
you might understand it, don't
worry about it.
Exactly, because it's a character piece at its core. And correct. So it's a drama / sport. They should say game. So, orphan at a tender age of 9, the protagonist Beth Harmon discovers the masters of the game and chess in 1960s USA. But the child's stardom comes at a price. So we only watched episode one, and Tiff, I literally wanted to watch episode 2, 3, 4, 5, but I didn't want my opinion clouded with other episodes.
Right, right.
So
right.
I haven't watched this. So the director is Scott Frank. And this episode mainly stars, what's her name? Isla Johnson?
Isla.
Isla. See, it's I-S-L-A.
Isla Johnson.
And so Isla Johnson, because I'm stupid. And so.
No!
It also stars Anya Taylor-Joy and Bill Camp and a whole bunch of people. Oh, let me not forget, what's her name? Moss M. Graham? Moses M. Graham? And she's a girl. Yeah. With that name. So that's cool. Hey, and your boy from Harry Potter, I guess he's in later episodes because I see his name in there.
Okay. So when he says your boy from Harry Potter, he means the Dursley's son.
Yeah, Harry Melton.
Yes, who was in The Devil All the Time.
Oh, God.
And honestly, terrible movie, but he does do a very good job in that movie. He's a good actor.
And also, he was in the movie with Charlize Theron.
Correct, and he's good in that, too. Yes, he was in The Old Guard.
The Dursley's son. Ain't that something?
It is unfortunate that he is... And I don't mean to be rude, but like he's an unattractive person, and I feel like obviously in Hollywood that really hurts you because he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, but he's getting roles though.
He's doing it. But I do think he's doing these great roles that are like interesting and like, and maybe that's the benefit, is like interesting and weird and hard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this, like the weird stuff. And I hope that he's able to find continued success.
Oh, shit. He rolling, Tiff. He ain't going nowhere. He'll be like
Oldman. I hope he's got good Harry Potter money because he wasn't in it for very long. He's not a huge character in that movie.
That's true. Way off the topic. I was watching.
You guys, listen. I'll talk about anything. Write us a letter.
No.
Talk about it.
No. I was watching something this week about the little kid in Revenge of the Sith that said, Master Skywalker, what are we going to do? Man, they played that kid. That kid only made like $120 for that role, and he had a speaking role.
Oh, shit.
Ain't that a bitch? I was like, wow. Anyway, man, let's get to the Queen's Gambit.
All right, let's do it.
So, you know, I was very surprised with this movie. Very, very surprised that I actually gave a shit about it. So, you know, so before we hit it hard, it's time for one. Tip, one word, what you got?
Okay, my one word is weird, so bear with me, I will explain it. My one word is correct.
Correct. Oh, you must explain.
Okay, so over the past few months, since this was released in October, so it's a little bit late for us to be talking about it, but I've had several people come to me and say, have you watched The Queen's Gambit? I think you'd really like it.
They think you would really like it, specifically you.
Correct. And sometimes when people say that to me, I find it difficult to sit down and actually watch the item.
You don't want to be painting with that brush.
Well, not just that. It's that like there's a lot of – I feel pressured to like – respond in kind.
Watch
so like
it,
if someone's
respond,
like,
oh, get I, back, right. I get it. I get
right.
It.
So like, oh, I think you'd really like this. And then like, if I watch it and I don't like it, I feel like I would probably just not say anything to that person. But like, I'm like, oh, that it's harder to like, there's a lot of, it's so stupid, but I feel pressured.
Gotcha.
However, I say correct because when I watched this, I was like, oh yeah, I do like it.
So, you know, but let's hit some spoilers. Oh, my one word. My one word is intriguing. I didn't expect to like this at all. And I love the first episode with a passion. Now, it could go all downhill from then, you know, who knows? But I loved it. And it was so intriguing because it went in directions that I didn't think it was going to go. There was no predictability about what was going on in this first episode. Would you agree or disagree?
I agree. I think that is part of the charm of this show, is that you might think that, let's say you don't really know anything about it, like kind of like I came in a little blind.
Yeah.
You would have no idea what this first episode would be about.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, episode begins with, let's hit some spoilers, you know, so we don't mess over anybody who doesn't, you know, you got the spoilers there. Young lady wakes up in Paris in 1967, redhead, oddly beautiful, but
oddly beautiful. Like, you're like, look at her and you're like, yeah, she looks weird, but also kind of hot.
Yeah, kind of hot, but she is a weirdo looking person. And she wakes up in this gaudy room in Paris. And if it wasn't in Paris or Rome or something like that, you would be like, ugh. But because you know it's there, you're like, oh, shit. You know, lots of money, especially 1967. She gets up, obviously having a night of some booty, and somebody's still in the bed. She opens up the drapes, gets dressed, takes these two huge pills, and runs out of the room. She's late. And it's like,
yes,
what's going on? And I don't give a shit at this point. She runs into the room, and, you know, Bobby Fischer is one of my heroes and stuff, you know, master of chess.
Oh, my God. I like that we're going to see both sides of this. One from a chess aficionado and one from somebody who doesn't even know how to play chess.
Well, there we go. Well, you know, you recognize the name Bobby Fischer. And so.
Correct.
And so she walks into the room and she's late for a chess tournament. Now, this is back in the 60s where people used to sit and watch chess tournaments and, you know, be like, King to Knight 4. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying?
It's guys, there was no HBO Go or HBO Max in 1960.
I guess so. Let's go watch a chess match, you know, and put on our suits and watch.
Put on our nice tweed and we'll go down to the, you know, the community center and we'll watch chess for 3 hours. No, thank you. I'd rather die.
Me too. I mean, I don't want to watch nobody play chess.
You like chess.
And I like, I'm just saying, I don't want
to
watch.
It's a lot to ask of me.
It's a lot to ask of me. So we quickly, the scene changes and we have this little girl and there's an accident and you see a body underneath the car. It's graphic.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And it's like just terrible. And somebody's dead. It's this thing. So then next thing you know, the little girl's in the car and she's being talked to. We're in the South. In this, like, maybe the 40s, 50s, probably the 50s. And she's in a car with a person from social services. The car says social services on the outside. And she's like, your mama was a real good mama. And she like to take care of you. She gone now, but now you going to be okay. Pray to God. And it's like, what the fuck is that? I was like, what is going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, that was her mother that was half-assed under the car, you know. And she's in a 57 Chevy, so that kind of tells you what time of the year it is. And she gets dropped off at a honest-to-God orphanage. And, you know, the conversation, there's a black fella there who is orderly, and I was a little surprised by
I like him.
I like him too. I was surprised by his presence because I don't know anything about this. So I don't know.
And here's the thing. I don't know. Like you said, so two things I have to say about it is one, if it is historically accurate, that seems fine, right?
Yes,
like
of course.
And we talked about this, I don't care about historical accuracy, so brings me to my second point.
Yes.
Which is what I really hope is that they just don't give a fuck. Because it's just a story they're telling. Who gives a shit if he's black? It doesn't matter what year it is.
That's like, cooler.
This is fake. This isn't real.
That's cooler.
Right. That's my preference.
It's a little unrealistic for the South, though, in the United States.
Correct. But the thing about it is, we don't talk about it. It doesn't fucking matter, which it shouldn't. In the realm of this movie, he is a person that is providing a part of the story, and who cares if he's black or not.
And he was absolutely fine.
One of the things I will say about this show that is really good is that there's a lot of really subtle, I wouldn't say horror isn't the right word, but just subtle heartbreak, where like she's got, you know, like hair that's current to the style of the time.
Yes.
And she's wearing this very cute little romper that has her name lovingly stitched on it, probably by her mother.
Snatched it from her ass like it was nothing.
And they took all of that from her, because in this orphanage, what they care about is complacency.
Conformity.
And in conformity. Right. So they give everyone the same outfits. They give everyone a similar haircut.
So the leader of the orphanage, she was kind of hot. Okay. And you never see that, right? It's always some like overweight, sloppily, sloven type of person that looks like an obvious villain. You know, and you're like, oh shit, she beats the kids. But this, but who, the people who run this orphanage, especially the lady who was the director, it was like, oh shit, she kind of hot. So she was all about by the book, and they didn't even like beat that drum that hard. You know, it was just like jump in line, like you were saying, this is your place. And so she enters the thing, and what I really like about this show is that it follows no tropes of, you know, having kids enter prison. And they got to fight for their meals and they have to, you know, do all this shit. So, like you said, they're tranquilizing the kids and we don't realize it at the beginning. We know they're giving them pills.
Right.
And then
we do meet her friend.
Which we didn't know she was going to be a friend.
Right. I mean, she at the beginning when she talks to her, it is very much just like, hey, this is a person.
Jolene. That's Jolene. And she's
Jolene, which I love. First of all, Jolene fucking rules.
Yeah. Oh, like, you know what, though, Tiff? Like, she's what? The only thing I didn't like about Jolene is that actress was obviously like damn near 30. And I was like,
but she's supposed to be gonna like let that slide.
15. And then I looked up the actress and she is like 26. And I was like, God damn. Of course.
So she gets sent downstairs to clean erasers and she's just like smacking them together. And when she's down there, she sees the service janitor.
The janitor, right. He's like
Mr. Shable. And he is playing chess by himself.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And that's kind of where the story turns into what will become the Queen's Gambit, because she's fascinated by what he's doing.
You know, she watches what he's doing. She understands what he's doing, but to some point she does not understand what he's doing. And then she comes back the next day, you know, after she's like zooted out looking at chess moves on the ceiling, you know, from hallucinations. She comes back and she asks questions and he's like begrudgingly doesn't want to like even deal with her, you know, but the questions that she's asking is like, oh shit, this child understands what's happening. And not only does she understand, she really, really, she's understanding more than me. And he ends up playing with her. And then gets destroyed by her over and over and over again to the point that he calls his friend from the high school who runs the chess club. Look, come play this girl. She beats his ass too, like bad.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, let's take her to my young chess geniuses in the high school.
You know how I feel about children actors.
Not this girl.
Right?
Not this girl.
This girl is so fucking good.
Yes, she is.
You will not believe. Like, when you watch this movie, or I'm sorry, show, you're going to be like, holy shit. Even though she can't be nominated for an Oscar, because that's not what Oscars nominate. I see a great future for this girl.
Emmy.
Because I can't even fucking believe.
She can win an Emmy for this. She can win an Emmy. Yeah. But
she was so good.
Here's the deal. You know, I don't know where the show takes this turn, because we know that we saw the grown actress who this is actually about at the beginning scene. I just want to watch her, you know,
yeah.
I want to watch her, you know, her life. She is really good. And I love the janitor, Tiff. They're great together. You know,
everybody in this show, love them or hate them for what they are doing, is bringing something.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you guys, she breaks into the infirmary where they keep the pills. Holy
shit. I can't believe she went this far, Tim.
Right. So, even when she was doing it, I was like, oh, she's just going to take some for later.
Shit.
So, she breaks into the infirmary, everyone, and there's two glass jars. There's the one that has the vitamins in it, which they still take, and then the one with the tranks in it, which they are no longer allowed to take.
Right.
She grabs that whole, and they're big jars, you guys. She grabs the big jar of tranquilizers.
Hey, guys, you know those big old cheese puff things you can get at the wholesale club, and they're like maybe like 2 feet high? That's what the pills are in.
And it's about half full. So she gets to the glass jar,
Tiff,
shoving shit in her pockets.
I thought she was going to put it all in her pockets, Tiff.
Me too, you guys. But then she's like, fuck this.
Handfuls.
She takes handfuls of pills.
In the mouth.
The thing is that, like, when you're watching this, I think it's easy to forget that, like, you think, oh, she's a drug addict.
No.
She would know what this is going to do to her. No, she's a child. She has no idea what it means to be a drug addict.
She's acting like she got into all the Hershey's chocolate and she's trying to eat it before everybody gets there.
she knows that they have made her feel good in the past, and there's no thought process.
Tiff, I'm sitting there like, she did. She about to die.
That's what I thought.
She did.
So, you guys, when I say she takes a lot of pills, she takes a lot of pills.
She should be dead, Tiff. She should be dead.
Well, and we don't know what happens after this because Montego and I both stopped watching, but the last thing that happens in this first episode is that she passes out and everyone finds her. Like, sees her fall off the top of the thing after having taken... And she drops the jar of pills and they just go everywhere.
I was outdone when she was gobbing those pills. Look, guys, she was gobbing the pills and putting the gobs, her whole fist in her mouth as she was eating. I was like, oh my God, baby gonna die. It was rough to watch, man. I'm like, wow. And so after it was over with, I'm like, bravo, bravo, bravo. I mean, it was so good. And I wanted to watch the next episode, but I was like, don't do it. We're doing it on the show. Don't do it. I don't want to be, you know, influenced, because I've noticed on the show that when we do a one shot, if you watch more, it influences your opinion on that one.
Because it could either be better or worse.
Yep.
That, like, it can retroactively change how you feel about the first episode, at least as far as like the linear storyline telling. But also, I think it can sometimes confuse you because you forget like what happens between the two.
Yes, is it? Oh, absolutely. Like, especially me, because I'm like, well, did that happen? Man, I'm relying on y'all to, like, you know, straighten me up and shit, you know. But bravo. But that's it. Total recommend. Fuck yeah. Total recommend. Liza was right. This is the shit. Check it out. And look, it's about chess, but this shit will make you love chess, even if you hate it. You'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like when you watch it, you're like, should I play some chess? I
know. It's really good. So that's a good segment, Tiff. We're gonna duck out of here, and we're gonna get the hell out of the one shot, and we're gonna hit our main topic, Black History Month. What's the name of the show? Coming to America with Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, and a whole bunch of other people. We'll be right back. All right, man, we are back. It's time for our final segment, man. It's Black History Month, and it's time for Coming to America, something we've never done on the show before, of course, or we wouldn't be bringing it up. However, man, so 1988, rated R for all the F-bombs and the boobies. 1 hour, 57 minutes, comedy, romance. An extremely pampered African prince travels to Queens, New York, and goes undercover to find his wife that he can respect for her intelligence and her will. Starring Eddie Murphy, Paul Bates, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, a whole
Louis
bunch of
Anderson.
Louis the Lovable Anderson.
The Lovable Anderson. That is absolutely correct.
Yes, he should have freaking coined that when he was popular back in the day. But he didn't. So before we hit this hard, it's time for one word. Tip, what you got? One word.
Fun.
Absolutely.
And I know that's a pretty basic word, but the reason I use that is because I believe that being born in 1985, so 3 years before this movie came out, I obviously watched it much later.
Yes.
And I think probably for me, the cultural impact that it has is maybe a little lost on me because of some of the stuff that is different now than it was then.
Yes.
So for me, when I watch this, I'm just like, this is great. Like, yes. I'm having a good time.
Yes. I would agree with you. For me, my one word is inspiring. And I'm going to say that because you remember, and I'm talking to the black people here, when the Wakanda movie came out, the Black Panther, black people was celebratory. They just was like, this is how we dream to see ourselves, you know, as Wakandans. You know, folks were celebrating. Black folks had lost their mind with Black Panther. You know, people, non-comic book fans alike. And it was pretty much the same when Coming to America came out. It was able to show black people in their most positive light. And everyone was celebratory when this movie came out and they saw how well it was done and how, you know, positive the characters were. And so it was very reminiscent of, you know, what happened with the Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel about it. So before we go another step, let's hit some spoilers before we start getting deep into this thing, and let's get into it. So a lot of this about this movie, you know, is you think about, okay, it's 1988, I'll excuse it. And then a lot of it, you're like, wow, they could have did a lot better about this, but I'll excuse it. You know, it was first of its kind, Tifobot, for African-American cinema, which pretty much was what, exploitation films and shit like that. You know, you had movies with black actors in it, like Beverly Hills Cop and things like that, also starring Eddie Murphy, 48 Hours, but it wasn't about black people, you know, so... Here we go.
Well, okay, before we get too far in, can I talk to you about something?
Indeed.
So this movie is directed by the amazing John Landis.
I have a lot to say about
John Landis. But John Landis is a white person.
Yes, he is. Now, well, let me hip you up to the.
But he did a lot of, like, he's done Trading Places and Beverly Hills Cop, three. You know what I mean? Like, An American Werewolf in London, which is an amazing movie. It's just weird that this movie, which is very much about Black Power, was directed by a white man. But go on. Let's hear what you have to say.
I am here to take you on your journey, my sister. I will show you how all this works. So John Landis made his bones earlier, before this movie was done, he's very famous for jumping on with Michael Jackson and directing Thriller, the video. Now, I say a video, it's a music video, and our younger listeners are like, what the hell is he talking about?
Is a music video?
That was the shit back in the day. You know, a Michael Jackson video after Billie Jean cemented your career. He did Thriller, which cemented his career. He was already famous, you know, being John Landis. But what ended up happening was he did that, and he did other movies, and he, like you said, he did Trading Places. John Landis was like kicking ass back in his time. But Eddie Murphy worked with John Landis in Trading Places, and he actually was quoted as saying that it was the best experience he ever had on a movie theater, because John Landis had a very relaxed atmosphere and he joked around a lot and he really liked that. So tragedy happens, Tifflebot. John Landis gets two children and an adult killed in the Twilight Zone, the movie, shortly after his rise to fame, and nobody wanted to touch him. Except for Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy said, I like John Landis. There's a mistake happening. And he had to go balls to the wall against the studio to get him hired to do this movie, because he felt like he understood black people. He did Thriller. He liked the way the treatment of Billy Ray Valentine was in Trading Places. And so he really liked John Landis, and he got him hired. Unfortunately, Tifflebot, the two did not get along on the movie set. John Landis got on Eddie Murphy's nerves. Eddie Murphy was kind of like filling his boots as I'm Eddie Murphy. And John Landis was like, I'm the goddamn director. And end up hating each other during the time of the filming of this movie. And being really disrespectful things. I mean, somebody put somebody in a headlock and did some wrestling moves and all kind of shit. And Eddie Murphy vowed never to work with John Landis again. However, over the years, the two have reconciled and have let the shit go professionally, you know. But even so much so that, like you mentioned before, that after this, Beverly Hills Cop 3, he brought John Landis on to direct Beverly Hills Cop 3, which was a effing disaster. You should have left John Landis where he was, because that movie sucked ass. It was terrible. Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, masterpieces, beautiful. Beverly Hills Cop 3 was like some soap opera TV show. It was like, what the fuck? What am I watching? It was terrible. So a little history, Tifflebot, so you know. We get our first looks at Prince Akeem, and you've never seen a human being pampered like this in the history of man. You know, he has.
And, okay, I want to talk about this. He kind of wakes up. And it's so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a commentary, but also, like, not. Like, it's not like, hey, look at this shit, right? Because it's like, so there's this whole idea that it's actually the antithesis of how most black people live, right? But that's a subtle underscore of this movie that, like, is a great commentary without having to, like, slap you in the face with it.
Right.
So basically, what he's doing is, like, For instance, he has an orchestra that wakes him up, and he has professional bathers, and he has someone who wipes his ass. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all very, very funny. It's all very tongue in cheek, but it's all subtly done. And I really actually think that this beginning part of the movie, I love the rest of the movie, but this beginning part of the movie is such like a tight introspective commentary on stuff that it's so good.
You know, at first,
your royal penis is now clean, Your Highness.
I'm watching this scene and I'm like, I'm seeing the boobies. I'm seeing the fine women. And, you know, the lady pops out of the water. And I was like thinking to myself, I was like, wow, I wonder why he did this. Because, you know, by throwing them boobies in there and stuff, it's rated R. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is Eddie Murphy. If, you know, you must be out your goddamn mind. I said, oh, it was rated R far before, you know, it was going to be rated right. R ridiculously. So whatever.
They were ready.
Exactly.
Everybody in this movie, from Eddie Murphy as Akeem, all the way down to the woman that he's meant to marry or is originally going to marry, is doing great, hilarious comedic work in this movie. Even so, my favorite person in this movie is the servant who is like to the king.
Oha.
Oha. Yes. She's your queen. I love Oha because that guy is straight man to death.
He's great.
He is so good. And here's the thing. I mean, like, there's everyone else is so great too, but like, he's just like, everything about him is fantastic.
Yes.
So, I agree. The beginning scenes I think are so great. And honestly, in this wedding scene, they have dancers come in. And even for me, as a white person watching this, this is a comedic movie, but there is something so powerful about seeing no white people. And seeing these people do these dances that, like, some of them are, it's obviously influenced by traditional African dancing, but it is not by any means, it is not traditional African dancing.
Let me blow your wig with that dancing.
Give it to me.
So they made a huge deal about Paula Abdul, who was hot as hell back in the day, you know, choreographed a dance routine. After further examination, basically, it was excerpts of Michael Jackson's Thriller dance routine
thrown all
over this place. So, Paula, you full of shit, girl. You stole the moves. Yes, she did. And then I watched it because I had looked at some of the trivia for it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that move. Because back in the day, we was all practice that shit.
Now that you're saying that, I'm like, I totally see that.
Indeed, right? But it's not even hard.
It's still like a really great scene to like see kind of like a celebration of, regardless of how authentic it is to traditional African dancing, to see like a celebration of African people.
James Earl Jones plays Eddie Murphy's father.
I absolutely adore,
of course, who does it,
James Earl Jones, but he's doing it right.
Oh yeah,
he's bringing it.
He's absolutely, I mean, so much so that him and what's her name, Madge Sinclair, they who recently passed, man, you know, but not even,
which
recently.
By the way, she's looking good as fuck.
Damn, she died in 1995. Wow.
Damn, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. She played the queen who ended up playing the king and queen in Lion King. They were, you know,
fucked.
No, seriously.
I knew he was Mufasa. She's
she absolutely
Sarabi.
Yep,
I think is her name.
She's the mama. Yep.
Fuck. You know what? Shut the podcast down. I gotta go do some stuff.
When he gets to the barbershop, now the movie was nominated for best costume and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And when he steps,
okay, which is kind of bullshit. Not because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Not because that's not correct. Because yes, the costuming in this movie is very good, and the makeup is good. But fuck you for not nominating it for best comedic performances and shit. You know it's because it's racist as fuck.
Oh, well, yeah. Because
Oscars are racist. In case anyone didn't know, the Oscars are racist.
Oh, super duper.
You're welcome.
Super duper. He gets the queens. He gets the queens. And my favorite characters is every scene that has the Mighty Shop in it is my favorite, man. I love the barbers. I know all those guys personally. I have met them all. I mean, you know, in life. And they're just great, man. I mean, every, you know, it's Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall and one other fella.
There's one other fella and a Jewish guy.
Who was Eddie Murphy? You know, you knew
so,
that.
So
right? you knew that. Right?
I did not know that.
You didn't know that Jewish dude was Eddie Murphy?
I don't watch. I did. Okay, so I know that when you get to the end of this movie, they run through all the characters that like Arsenio Hall played and Eddie Murphy played, and I usually turn it off, not because I'm not interested, but because I'm in a hurry. So I did not know that.
And then off to the nightclub, and this movie is full of bit after bit that just
right.
works.
So the beginning of this movie, I was going to tell you, the beginning of this movie is like kind of like little vignettes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like comedic vignettes in the beginning.
Right.
We're like this scene. Before we get to like kind of the meat of the movie.
Right.
But I will say, I do think that I'm not in the minority here by any means, but that the scene where they're looking for women in the nightclub.
Right.
Is great.
Oh, and all the no-name actresses that they show, you know, the twins, you know, beatboxing and rapping, and the twins talking at the same time, and the lady talking about she rushes the devil. All that shit is great, man. And just the way it's put together, you know, this is John Landis at his best. You know, I wish they would have did more movies together, like what's his name, Dean and what's the actor's name? Dean and Lewis, you know, shit like
Dean
that.
Dean Martin,
yeah,
Jerry Lewis?
Yeah, they should have just did more because they had such a great chemistry.
They had a great chemistry, yeah, they really did.
But they never did.
You just believed they were friends. Like,
exactly.
You wouldn't have to have had that explained to you.
Right.
So basically, here's the thing, you guys. I don't mean to gas on, flap my gums about shit. But like, so they come to America.
Right.
And that happens and whatever. But they live in they're very wealthy. He's a prince.
I'm not living in that nasty ass apartment. That's the hell with you, Hakeem.
No fucking way. I can lie about being rich and live somewhere nice.
I know.
But so they have all this shit. They have all this money, and like it's money like movie money. It's like beyond what even a small,
yeah,
not even a small, but like it's beyond what a country could afford.
Of course,
like
of course.
There's millions of American dollars and stuff, but the hope of Akeem is to find a woman who doesn't care that he's rich, or not even necessarily that. It's more like
just finding a genuine person. Right?
I want you to like me for who I am.
Exactly.
So they go and they try to get a cheap apartment.
Get a job at McDonald's.
Shitty apartment. They get an apartment. Not even at a McDonald's. It's a knockoff McDonald's, which you would think, oh, it's because they have copyright issues, but no, there's a whole comedic scene about the guy being bitter about it being McDowell's instead of McDonald's.
Which was actually a Wendy's. And when I saw it, I was like, that's a goddamn Wendy's. All Wendy's are built the same.
I am very happy that you choose to have this hill to die on. Where you're like, motherfucker, that's a Wendy's.
That's a Wendy's, goddammit. It's not a McDonald's.
But what I want to talk about is that they work there. But it turns out that Lisa, his crush, or the person he thinks he loves, has a boyfriend named Daryl.
Played by Derek LaSalle. Soul Glow himself. Him in that damn Jerry Curl wig is immortal.
Correct. Jerry Curl. And when he pulls into the parking lot
with the music and shit,
McDowell's for the first time, they have this theme song for Soul Glow. That is, it is so good.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
beyond. It is beyond.
So obnoxious.
It is beyond the right of this movie to have, because that like it's almost too good to be a joke.
Yeah, it's really good, and they play it up. And Eric LaSalle does such a great job at just being the total dick, pampered boyfriend. You know.
I understand that we're talking a lot about the minutia of this movie, but that's how you know that you have a good movie, is when you could, like, we could literally take this movie and probably talk a couple of episodes about it.
Of course.
Because there's so much to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's told by the people at the barbershop that what he needs to do
to get with her
is to impress the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, like, Smith, and I just love that, like, the dad doesn't think he's a fuck up or anything like that, but he just comes in, he tries to talk to him, and the dad's like,
Are you on drugs? And all the dad cares about is Daryl, because he's the biggest fish in the pond for his daughter right now. He just wants his daughter not to struggle and stuff. Daryl messes up because he decides he's going to tell her what to do, and, you know, going to spring a, what do you call it? A marriage on her that she never approved. And so it backfires on him. And there's Hakeem like a goddamn salamander just snaking in. And next thing you know, they're going on dates. And she's talking about, what about Patrice? And it's like, what about Patrice? Bitch, you already had a date with him. What are you talking about? What about Patrice? Because I'm going to be honest with you. The most honest person in this whole movie was Patrice, because Patrice did like Hakeem when she thought he wasn't shit. You know?
That is true.
She was giving him the ball massage at the St. John's game.
Which, you know what? You do you, girl.
Right. Oh, I ain't mad at her. And so after that, you know, Simi is, he's pissed. He's mad because they're going through all, you know, nothing's happening good for him. He fixes up the apartment. Hakeem is, you know, and I like when they show the dichotomy between, you know, Simi and Hakeem, because they're best friends. But then it's points where he orders him and talks to him like he is a servant. You know, you clean up this place. Oh, you were going to say something. I'm like, Hakeem kind of a piece of shit, you know, because... He gets the friendship when he wants it, right? You know, any other time, I command you to do something. I am the king. You know, it's like, you know, okay, you're kind of a piece of shit. So they run through the money. Hakeem, Simi asks for more. The king comes. And this is where shit gets really good, because the king comes with his entourage to find out what's wrong, you know, and because why are they asking for more money? And, you know, now they're chasing them through, you know, New York. And Hakeem messed up to me, Tiff, because he should have came clean with the woman when he first saw the flowers. He's like, okay, hold up. Come on up in here. I'm going to tell you who I am. But no, he continues the, you already know the girl likes you for you. Why are you still like
right.
clowning and stuff?
In this comedic movie that's just supposed to make you laugh about the difference between even the have-haves and the have-have-haves.
Yeah.
And especially for Black Americans, which this is not realistic for a lot of them.
Right.
And there's this whole very tongue-in-cheek speech given early in the movie where McDowell explains, like, hey, you could be as rich as me
yeah. yeah.
if you work for 30 years. Right. And there's just this despondent, horrible kind of cloud over that statement that kind of gets glossed over because it's a funny movie, but it's very funny. But then it's kind of driven home later hey. When we hear Louis Anderson
yeah,
speaking about
good point, Tiff. Yeah.
Right.
In 2 years, I could make assistant manager. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of commentary here that's very subtle and well done.
Hakeem is chasing Lisa through the subway.
Great scene.
Professing his love, renouncing his throne, anything it takes. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me why she walked away from him at that point. You know, because she was kind of like, I don't want you to do that, but it had never worked. And she walks away and I'm like, bitch, come back, bitch. You know?
And so he goes home and he's going to marry his original betrothed. At least he thinks, right? And hey, I do think this is...
Whatever happened to that woman, is she going to be coming to America too?
I kind of hope so.
Mad as hell, you know, like you rejected me or some shit, you know, some shit like that.
But I will say this is, watching this movie today,
mm-hmm.
this is a great reveal, right? Cause like what happens is that we see a bride coming down the aisle. We assume it's his, arranged marriage.
Oh, I could tell it was her long haired ass from the beginning. I was like, that's her long haired ass.
So she gets to the end. It's Lisa.
Yeah.
There's kind of a happily ever after situation. Absolutely.
Fairy tale-ish to the max.
Fairy tale, but in a fine way.
Yes.
They make a joke about it. Cause like, she's like, oh, you would have given this up for me. And he's like, yes. And he's like, we can still do that now. And she's like, nah, which is pretty, you know, it's pretty cute and tongue in cheek and fun.
I think that's it, man. Goddamn.
Yes. Sorry.
Good. Good. Great discussion, you know, for Black History, man. So, man, that's going to do it for this week, man. My name is Montego. This is a Fans of Patrol, man. And I'm the host. With me is my sensitive co-host. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
Oh, it's been a pleasure as always.
Indeed. And until next week, make sure you check out our Patreon shows. We got more Fans of Patrol there. And go check us out on YouTube. We need subscribers, y'all. We need them goddamn Please. Subscribers.
You guys, you know how I feel about not being liked. Can't you just give me a dollar?
So... So Tiff, until next week, we will be
on patrol.